It's the Smart City Podcast. Whoa, with smart city experts, here we go. Connecting smart technology, both big and small. Smart cities are making life better for all. Big data, emerging trends, self-driving cars and more. The Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.
Hello, this is Zoe from the Smart City Podcast. I am here with Sergio, and he is from P3 Smart City. So we are at the ASCA Smart Communities Conference, and Sergio spoke this morning, and we're just going to talk a little bit about that. So how are you today, Sergio?
I am well, Zoe. How are you?
I am awesome. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about your background and what you're passionate about.
So my background is actually, I've been in a smart city space since 2011. But previous to that, I was in the outdoor advertising industry, billboards, and I was in there since 2003. So for about 8 years, we built what was one of the largest outdoor operators in America and really fastest growing. But, you know, a lot of what I learned there was, you know, the regulatory framework, you know, how to actually implement digitization into physical assets, connectivity, how to connect them, and you know, the bureaucratic process of working with the federal, state, local, regional, county, transportation, Department of Public Works, and all these other, you know, 15 roadblocks to, you know, executing a project. Yes. And there was where I learned that everything that I had been doing into trying to put up a billboard or a sign was really, you know, the backbone and the underpinning of me evolving into the smart city space, right? Because today people look at smart cities and they say, oh my God, it could be backed by advertising, it could be backed by telecom, it could be backed by, you know, Wi-Fi without advertising. Oh my God, it makes no sense. But really, you know, a lot of what we learned, again, from working with cities and mostly cities, and I'm a huge fan of the small sort of hyper-local element, is that, you know, that there was a lot more there, right? And especially when you start to digitize, it's not about, you know, using ad dollars, it's about creating efficiencies. Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, making things better, faster, quicker, and more connected, right? Because there in itself lies the element of being smart, right? Connecting everything and bringing everything under one umbrella, but at the same time also allowing that efficiency that you create within the city to then open the door to future markets. Mm-hmm. Right, if you look at the phones and the iPhones and all this, if there wasn't Android, then we wouldn't have been able to evolve what these phones do for us. Mm-hmm. So that third party evolution is also one of the things that really excites me about where this market is going.
Yeah.
But, you know, first we have to focus on you know, the most important part, which is working with the cities. But, you know, that's a little bit of my background, I guess, a longer version of, hey, this is my CV. But
yep,
there's a lot of passion in what I do, because I come with a lot of hands-on experience. And so it's exciting to be here and share.
Yeah, awesome. So let's talk a little bit about what you're doing at the moment with P3 Smart Cities.
So a lot of the work that we're doing with P3 Smart Cities is a combination of working with governments from an advisor capacity, mm-hmm. Just helping them see through, bringing best global practices, best of breed. We also work and collaborate with other major groups in the space globally, while at the same time, you know, obviously our goal is we're really more of a master developer. So what we do is we help create the project, set up the project, help bring in the capital and the execution and all the best of breed technologies that apply to your local city or your local region. Because what works in Turkey doesn't work in Argentina, it doesn't work in Mexico, it doesn't work in America, it doesn't work in Australia. Mm-hmm. So that element is also so important. That's why, you know, to us from a P3 Smart City Partners company's perspective, is we're technology agnostic. We're betting on the future, right? And really, as I was saying earlier, we're betting on the highway and what the highway can create, mm-hmm. rather than the vehicle, mm-hmm. right? So because a lot of our expertise and everyone in my company, the expertise really lies on policy, lies on, you know, sort of advisory to execution, right? Not advisory to talk, right? But really looking at it and saying, hey, look, our goal is to help you get to the project so we could help you be part of that project. So the quicker we get you there, and the best technology innovation in how to bring in the financing or the best strategic players or the best revenue streams and what have you, Obviously, then we have a vested interest, you know, in really getting through that first phase to then go into the second, third, and fourth and what have you.
Yeah, awesome. So one of the questions I normally ask on the podcast, I'm putting you on the spot here a little bit, is I want to talk about the emerging trends that people aren't talking about at the moment. So do you have any thoughts or ideas about that?
Emerging trends in smart city or?
Yeah, in smart city.
One of the ones that I'm the most excited about and nobody's talking about, I just got back from, I was in Portugal speaking at Erasmus conference, that's they're like an economic global event, and talking about smart cities and smart infrastructure and really bringing the power back to the city to then faster evolve. And that it's funny you say that because that question came up of sort of where are the trends and where are things going, and even in Dubai as well, because we were there for District 2020 and the Expo for a couple events that were back-to-back-to-back. And, you know, you're seeing sort of trends in a couple capacities, and I'll break this down. Number one is existing infrastructure, right, and what opportunities are there, right? And one of the most exciting ones, I was just starting this part, is around electricity. Right, social electricity. So now imagine a day where everywhere you go, you could actually just, you know, wirelessly charge your devices. Obviously, when you get to that point, it's not free, right? You're gonna, at some point, it's cost money, right? So social electricity, where they're doing it already in Chile, is basically you come and you go and you put your phone down and it automatically starts to charge. But you actually get 1,000 points, which is making that up. You get 1,000 points a month to utilize the free electricity. It's like when cell phones were first coming out, they were giving you X amount of data for free or calling, and then they charged you, right? So it's like they got you hooked. But it's okay. It's a free market play, right? You're still getting the aspects of opportunity and otherwise carry your own charger and go charge somewhere or carry a battery pack, right? But this opportunity and the way they're doing it is basically then I run out and then I say, I send you a Facebook message or WhatsApp or something, says, Zoe, can you please transfer me, you know, because they're basically tokenizing electricity. And say, Zoe, can you send me 500 points because I need 2 hours, I got to do a conference call to whatever, and then you send it to me. But then I go out and I run out, right? So then you pay for it. But it creates this sort of element of unlimited free as long as you're utilizing your social network, right? And at the same time, also a revenue stream for the infrastructure so that it's a win-win. It's not a prohibitive, but it's also it's a great innovation. And we're starting to see the Chilean government has embraced this with Enel, the local electricity company, but we're also starting to see that be part more of the vision. The only problem with something as forward thinking as this is that you still need the infrastructure. You need to be able to put wireless. So typically right now you're looking at buses, taxis, which is still good. That's where you move around, trains. Then the other part is that what we're really excited about from smart city perspective is really the advent of blockchain technology and how that will apply and change and impact how data is utilized in cities, right? So we see so much of this element of the Googles of the world or Facebooks that are privatizing data, that their entire business models are built on data. I personally believe that the future is not that, right? That the future is businesses will be built on shared data. What is the internet but a collection of communities? That's shared information. So look at what we built there. Imagine now if you look at data, and that's where blockchain comes in, it's utilizing data in a shared element and transparent and not privatized, right? It has to be bi-directional. So, and validated, right? And so when we're looking at, you know, how this sort of, convergence of different things that are coming together all of a sudden at such speed, I think it's really exciting because that cutting edge conversation is, hey, what if you actually were to look at a city and say, I know 100% of the data that I can now create a business that doesn't exist today, right? But will exist when every other city comes online and has the ability to share all of that data, everything from commercial data to, you know, transportation to connectivity to just public information. And what if you could actually build on top of that, right? Like you did with Android, and Android has changed the game, right? Android, now you have the ability, I mean, how many apps do we have that run our lives, never mind help our lives become easier? Well, hey, what if that evolution of apps for phones, you actually were to look at apps for cities.
For cities, yeah.
Right? Where, hey, there's things that you and I and those two people over there like. Well, hey, why can't we have our own cluster within the smart city?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that open architecture evolution will be advanced by blockchain.
Yep.
And I think it's really exciting. And I think that those two things to me are really, really exciting, because I think connectivity and everything else and fiber gigabit speed, all that stuff is all the conversations that have been going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think of what's really exciting around the corner are those two things.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, it's been so great chat to you today. And yeah, look forward to talking to you again soon.
Excellent. Well, pleasure. Thank you
very much. Thank you. Hi, this is Zoe from the Smart City Podcast here again, and I am here with Danielle Story, and she's going to tell us a little bit about what she's doing. She works for Smarter Technology Solutions. So hello, Danielle, how are you?
Hey, Zoe, how are you going? It's great to be here at the conference. And as Zoe said, I work for Smarter Technology Solutions as the Chief Innovation Officer, and we do a system integration and managed services around smart city technologies for cities.
Awesome. Well, can you tell us a little bit about your background and what you are passionate about?
Sure. So my background is in technology engineering and architecture. And a couple of years ago, came up with this idea. I kept leaving my garage door open and realized that I'd have to drive home to check it, you know, if it's still open. Fast forward a couple of years, and we realized that problem of remotely understanding the status of, say, my garage door was something that at a city scale is really, really complex. So Smarter Technology Solutions was formed about 3 years ago. Originally, we weren't specific to cities, but we got some early traction with customers like Sunshine Coast Council and Ipswich City Council and some of the regional New South Wales councils, and realised that this was a problem on a city scale much larger than obviously just my garage door.
Yeah, awesome. So why the smart cities kind of space?
Well, I think it's probably down to the fact that I guess underneath it all I'm a bit of a greenie, and the sustainability impacts, and we all kind of have to live in towns and cities. So I guess it's nice to have that fundamental, underlying impact of being able to make the cities more livable, more economic, more sustainable. Plus, it's just a heap of fun.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Let's talk a little bit about some of the emerging trends, and the ones I like to talk about are the ones that people aren't talking about. Do you have any ideas on that?
Yeah, sure. So I suppose there's a lot of things and there's a lot of buzzwords. So I guess there's probably not a lot that people aren't talking about. But I think the two things that I've been focusing on most is around sustainability and efficiency, and using sensors and technologies to understand why things happen, but also to preventatively know that, say, a flood is coming or a certain weather event or those sorts of things, and then trigger actions like pulling barriers down at a level crossing to stop people driving through floodwaters. So mostly like that automation, I guess, based on one condition changing or one thing being triggered. And I guess the second is probably just the way, I guess, it will change life, in the sense that as a citizen, having access to more information, and as a council or a city, having access to more information, services can be more aligned, and certainly as citizens, we can be more involved in decision making. I think that's probably the most exciting thing I've seen coming. And of course, all the technology underneath, it's pretty sexy and cool, but it's nice to be able to see that human impact.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I think that there's a bit of a disconnect between the different disciplines, governments, academia, industries, all that kind of thing. Do you have any ideas about how we can integrate better across all of those?
Yeah, I was actually talking with someone earlier at the conference about this, and the problems that one region has as opposed to others is often different. For example, we're in Melbourne right now, and I would say it's probably one of the cities that has some of the best public transport. I got a tram here this morning and then walked a couple of hundred metres from my hotel, whereas, say, in regional Queensland, they don't have the same mobility and transport. They've got different problems, like they might be trying to support their economy, or they might have cyclonic events that happen several times a year. And I guess the context of the location drives a lot of that, but also, you know, it certainly shapes things. So I guess I see the huge benefit in having people and the regional focus, I guess, to be able to drive what the solutions are, not just the, you know, the glossy brochures and the case studies that apply to the big cities. So I would say that's probably the big thing, is that there's not really a one-size-fits-all, and it's like a lot of the industry at the moment is kind of pretending that it is like that. And even globally, you know, the problem that, say, Singapore and London and LA have are not necessarily the same to, you know, Brisbane, Darwin, Dubbo, for example.
Yeah, awesome. So how do you think Australia kind of ranks when it comes to smart cities?
So I guess up until recently, I thought we were really far behind. And I actually think in some aspects, sure, we might be. And certainly around our public infrastructure, I think we are a little bit behind some of the other cities in the world. But then if you look at the IoT sensor-type technologies, I would say, by and large, we're probably ahead of many areas like the States, maybe even the UK, perhaps not Europe, but I think it does vary quite heavily regionally and definitely based on the use case. So here, we tend to have a lot in the environmental sensing space and some of those other aspects of a smart city, but we maybe haven't made as many strides in, say, mobility and transport as others. So I think, you know, I think it's a bit of a mixed bag, but I don't think we're faring too bad globally, although I guess our innovation index probably says otherwise. You know, talking with the global vendors and partners, I don't think we're as far behind as people think.
Yeah, cool. Let's talk a little bit about what technologies you are, like, particularly interested or looking at.
So I guess something that comes up and is pretty standard across most councils or regions that are bigger than, say, a 30 to 50,000 people population would be probably street lighting and having dynamic control of lighting for safety, for preventative maintenance and otherwise. I think that's probably one of the biggest use cases, and those with very decent benefits, especially when it's coupled with LED lighting replacements. Certainly the energy efficiency, cost efficiency and alike are really evident there and really easy to measure. I think public Wi-Fi will continue to be quite predominant, especially in areas where there's tourism and larger cities, less so in regional places, but there has been some great state initiatives to help connect the outback Queensland and other locations that may not have the funds to go out and do it themselves. And I suppose things like your smart water meters and, as I mentioned, the environmental sensing and smart waste to sort of optimise those services is pretty important too.
So rather than just individual technologies and that kind of thing, do you have any ideas about how we can kind of integrate that all together?
Yeah, so again, I was having some conversations this morning around, you know, how do you know you need a smart city platform, or how do you know that you should go and put on sort of, I guess, those siloed or individual components. And I guess it depends on the intent and the problems you're trying to solve. So I was talking with the council this morning about how over in Bad Hersfeld in Germany, I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong, they had an issue with noise because they're a major transport hub. And so that was one of their key problems, whereas, you know, issues that we might have here in Melbourne might be entirely different, again, different in different contexts. So I think it largely depends on what you're trying to achieve. And I guess, a word of encouragement around that, I think it's really important to understand why you're doing these programs and what you're trying to achieve, because it helps drive the technology, the platform, the, you know, all of the decisions along the way, to have real clarity about what success looks like. And it's something that we sort of coach our customers through, because, you know, the tech's very sexy and it's great that it's a big buzz, but you want to make sure that you can get measurable outcomes. And so that's something that we try and focus on. And certainly being able to aggregate that all into one platform makes it easier to manage. But again, if it has an intent, then it's good to know and be clear on what that is.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Danny. It was so great to talk to you this afternoon, and I look forward to having further conversations.
No worries. Thanks for the coffee.
Cheers. Hello, it's Zoe back again from the Smart City Podcast. I'm here with Dale from Rico, and we're just going to have a bit of a chat. So how are you this afternoon?
I'm good, Zoe. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm having a great time at the conference. I hope you are as well.
It's really good, actually. There's a lot of people that we've been wanting to meet for a long time have come, so that's always really good.
Yep.
Some really good quality speakers as well. So, yeah, all looking pretty good so far.
Yeah, cool. Well, let's talk a little bit about your background and what you're passionate about.
My background, I've been doing, I guess, digital startups for about 20 years or so. across every major sort of wave of computing, so from web to mobile, cloud, and now IoT. So I'm always really passionate about building, you know, experiences that change people's lives, you know, at various levels. Don't want to get too esoteric about it all. We're not curing cancer in a lot of cases, but, you know, things that really allow people to either experience life in a new way, experience new new services that obviously which are also enabling businesses to create new things for people as well. So I'm pretty passionate about trying to find the new opportunities in things that are kind of probably still emerging. So I'm typically the guy on the surfboard out right in front of the wave before it's really sort of become a wave. Mm-hmm. And then by the time everybody's on the wave, I've kind of probably at the back and waiting for the next one. So I'm always really passionate about innovation, you know, that sort of creative thought process of building something new and finding really innovative solutions to real problems. Mm-hmm. That's what gets me out of bed in the morning.
Yeah, cool. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the things and projects that you're working on at the moment.
So Rico as an integration platform for IoT means that we get involved in a number of different industry segments. So obviously here it's at the ASCA conference around smart cities, but we're also working with customers in water utilities and agriculture, mining infrastructure. So there's loads and loads of different things that we can get involved in as a tool and as a company. To sort of provide them with the capabilities that our platform enables them with. So some of the really cool stuff, I guess, that we're seeing, you know, in the water space, there's always the basic sort of metering, you know, kind of tell me if there's a leak, you know, type of idea. But, you know, opening up some of that data, to the consumers to have sort of more control over how they're utilising water. I guess kind of resource management is really important to me in terms of how we're using our natural resources. So a lot of the things that we're seeing in the water and energy space are really exciting. In the smart city space, there's so many projects that are going on covering everything from autonomous cars and robotic lawnmowers on sports fields to, you know, to your standard smart bins, smart lights, smart parking types of things. But I think the thing that's most exciting in that smart city space is just seeing that councils are now at a point where they really are wanting to do things. For most of them, they've really gone through a period of time around their strategy, and now they're really, you know, having a go. And I think for a lot of people, a lot of organisations in IoT, it's not till they actually start trying something that they realise, you know, A, how hard it can be, but also two, you know, what are some of the results that they can get? What are some of the innovations they can build? So seeing that people are ready to start having a crack is, you know, is really exciting.
Yeah, cool. So can you explain a little bit about how your platform, that's the word I want to use?
Yeah, yeah.
Explain how that kind of works and why it's different to some of the other things that are out there at the moment.
Sure. Well, yeah, so everybody has a platform, and sometimes they're not actually a platform. But, yes, we have an integration platform that looks specifically at the data that is being generated from the things, I guess is the easiest way of saying that. Mm-hmm. A lot of solutions that are in the IoT space right now, a lot of people are focusing on turnkey end-to-end solutions. So they'll bring the devices and the sensors, they'll be pre-connected to a network, and there'll be an application or a dashboard or something at the other end. And while that's great from a quick, easy-to-deploy, answers one or two questions really, really well, we tend to work with larger organisations that are solving multiple problems on a number of different fronts, for different business units within the organisation, and then having to work with a much, much larger number of vendors across the devices and the networks and applications and clouds and everything. So our platform is designed to move information from the Internet of Things into an organisation where it creates the most value for that organisation, where it unlocks the types of outcomes that are really matched to the way that organisation does business, rather than giving them another application or another system to have to use. It's about how do we move that data to where somebody in an organisation can make the most use of it, utilising from a technology standpoint a lot of the tools that they already use today. And that has benefits from an investment standpoint. You're not trying to sell things that people already have. Mm-hmm. From an education standpoint, you can educate the end user a lot faster if they're having this IoT data surfaced into systems that they're already familiar with using. A whole range of different benefits, but that's how we differentiate ourselves from any number of other vendor solutions. And in fact, in the smart city space, the more solutions that a city buys, the better, because we sit at a layer below lights and parking and bins and cameras and water meters at a city level, and allow that data interoperability between those solutions. So we're pretty unique in that particular regard.
So it's like technology agnostic.
Very much agnostic. We've invested a lot of time in the integration framework, mm-hmm. that allows us to build these things called plugins, which are the like sort of mini integrations. We have about 120 of those in our marketplace right now, mm-hmm. but the framework allows us to build a new integration very, very quickly. So it's about providing a really agile tool for large companies to move faster in this technology area that's always changing. Mm-hmm. And if they want to embark on an 18-month or 2-year IT project, things are going to change so dramatically in that time that it'll be obsolete before they start. So we're trying to provide tools that allow customers to get started, move faster, build gradually and iteratively across the life cycle of a particular solution, and build in some future-proofing for them as well, so they get a better return on their initial investment.
Yeah, awesome. So I want to talk a little bit about emerging trends, and I want to talk about what other people aren't talking about. So you have any ideas about that?
I think in IoT, a lot of people talk about a lot of things. I guess some of the big trends, I mean, one of them that's top of mind for everybody is security. Although that's a fairly changing, amorphous, kind of concept, because it touches so many different parts of what we sort of call the value chain. It's device security and network security and application security. Data privacy touches a whole range of different things. That's one area that's pretty massive. I think, a couple of the other general mega trends within IT in terms of AI, mm-hmm. is something, and it's not a case of necessarily of robots taking over our jobs, but it's a case, particularly in the IoT space, of understanding more about what's happening contextually with the information to help us make better decisions. So instead of just handing over raw data and putting it up on a dashboard, and I'm going, "Oh, that light is yellow. I really need to go and have a look at that." Being able to run through different scenarios of what that issue might actually mean, mm-hmm. and alerting different people within an organisation to action. So, again, AI is one of those really big areas that has a lot of different touch points. Probably the other mega trend that particularly actually in councils, a lot of them are starting to investigate, is autonomous vehicles, mm-hmm. from a public transport perspective. So there's a couple of councils in Queensland now running autonomous vehicle trials. Mm-hmm. There's a huge impact on the community. In terms of community design, I think a lot of people look at how this technology comes into play, but our cities right now are actually physically designed around mass commuter transport, around just the way how people are organised in terms of the CBD and suburbs. All of that has the opportunity to change fundamentally when you start introducing things like autonomous vehicles. So I think some of the things that we're not talking about are probably the what has to happen in cities across the next 50 years. to accommodate the impact that this technology actually has on our physical built environment and just on our social fabric. Those are things which, you know, maybe people are having those discussions at a much higher level than me. They probably are, but there's certainly some big areas of impact that that will require some pretty significant focus as a result of the technology that we're all now starting to introduce.
Yep, I agree. When I was talking to Sergio, he made the same point, which is more we don't need to focus on building the cars. We need to focus on building the highway, because what will enable those cars to move around, and that's in a not in a literal sense. Well, it is a little bit of a literal sense, but also that foundational piece. That connected kind of piece, rather than just the flashy new shiny toys that are also exciting.
Sure, and the opportunity for that exists in some emerging markets more than necessarily in established markets. So Ricoh's doing some projects throughout Asia where currently the city doesn't exist.
Yep.
You know, it's vacant land. And the national governments, who are under a lot more pressure than we are here in Australia, to deliver real social change, to really deliver economic value to their to the working class, because there's 100 million of them in the country. Like, we just don't feel some of that squeeze in Australia.
Yep.
But some emerging markets are much more energised and motivated to enable technology to really change the game for them as a nation and for their population, and where they're looking at new, literally greenfield opportunities, particularly in smart communities, they are adopting this kind of let's build the smart highway first, so that we're not just kind of slapping smart solutions on top of old infrastructure and on top of old ways of thinking. We're really sort of delivering smart city infrastructure that means that whatever we build on top of that later on has a much greater degree of flexibility and ability to move with where we need it to from a technology standpoint. So some of that's really exciting for us to be involved in cities where we're not retrofitting, but we're actually able to sort of be there when they turn the soil ceremony, dig the shovel in and start building some roads.
Cool. Oh, well, it's been so great to talk to you this afternoon.
Thank you.
And I look forward to having further conversations later down the track.
Pleasure. Thanks.
Thanks. Enjoy the rest of the conference.
You too.
Okay. See you. Bye.
It's the Smart City Podcast. Whoa.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart City Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes can be found at thesmartcitypodcast.com. If you have any questions or comments for me or any of my guests, connect with me via email, zoe@thesmartcitypodcast.com, or via the socials. I'm on Twitter and Facebook at Smart City Pod. As always, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.